T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, let's go to a guy that has already relived it, because he's Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. With him being a big deal, Dustin, he gets a screening, so he gets to see this before all of us, you know, common folk. So, Chris, let's start there. What was the biggest surprise, the biggest takeaway that you had after seeing this earlier this week?
Guys, I think the biggest thing was just how it all came about. I think we've read so much about it. We've learned so much about it. We witnessed the decision ourselves back in 2010. But I think the backstory of the whole thing, about how it came together, some of the concerns that LeBron's camp had, then NBA Commissioner David Stern had, that was something that really surprised me. That was probably one of my bigger takeaways. And I think it's also very, very interesting in watching this episode. So much of the focus that time was about the decision itself, how it was executed, and it was so poorly done, and how LeBron went about it, basically sticking a knife in the heart of every Clevelander fan on national TV. Like, that's what it was about, but it was also about player empowerment. And when we talk about LeBron's legacy at the end of his career, like, a huge part of it is going to be the decision, but not as much in a negative way as I think it would have been portrayed initially.
Chris, you know how much I love the Cavs and love LeBron, and that moment hurt me. Is this worth watching, in your opinion, or will it bring up old wounds?
I don't think it'll bring up old wounds. I mean, it didn't for me. Okay. And I think part of the reason for that, Dustin, is because LeBron came back and he helped them win a championship in 2016. So Had LeBron left, came back, never won that championship here in Cleveland, didn't deliver on that promise, maybe it would bring up old wounds, because it would be more of a focus on everything that this city lost. But because he helped them win the championship in 2016, I don't think it resonates from an emotional standpoint the same kind of way, him leaving.
So, Chris, was the idea for this, did this come from some dude named Drew in Columbus, Ohio, or was it Jim Gray's idea, or do we not know still?
So the facts, based on watching the episode, the facts lay out that it was Drew from Columbus who made the suggestion to former ESPN employee Bill Simmons, who's now with The Ringer. It was for one of his mailbag columns back in November 2009. So Bill Simmons loved the idea. Then all of a sudden he responded in his mailbag question saying how much he loved the idea. He has email documentation of some things that he sent to network executives for months saying, hey, this would be a great idea. He met up with William Worldwide West Wesley, Maverick Carter, Leon Rose, who was the agent for LeBron James back in the 2010 NBA All-Star Game. And then the documentation shows that Jim Gray, in the finals that year of 2010, he brought it up to LeBron's camp. So based on all of that, it would seem like it wasn't Jim Gray's idea. He kind of got onto it later in the process. It's just he was the handpicked person from LeBron and his camp to conduct the interview for the decision.
If LeBron could go back and do it again, would he do the same thing?
I absolutely think so, yes. I just don't think he would have executed it the way that he did. But the decision that he made and the fact that he basically wanted a platform to tell his own story and empower players to tell their own story, I think he absolutely would have done it the same kind of way. I just don't think it would have been as mean-spirited, as poorly executed, and he probably would not have used the language that he used, which made it really, really hard for Cavs fans.
Right.
The other thing I think that we have a problem with, and obviously the letter, the Comic Sans letter came from Dan Gilbert after, do you think in doing it again, do you think this time around he would have at least given them a heads up, or was that kind of all part of his plan too, you think?
If LeBron would have given the Cavs a heads up, that sort of thing?
Yeah, like I mean, everybody was just waiting on pins and needles, including Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers. Nobody knew his decision before.
Yeah, so I don't think he trusted Dan, and I don't think he trusted the Cavs. And I think from one standpoint, you can say I understand why. This was something that it seemed like LeBron wanted to keep close to him. On top of that, Chico and Dustin, it's something that as much as people felt like he was probably going to go to Miami, and it's said in this episode by one of the network guys for ESPN, there was no way that LeBron was going to do what he did. He called it a dog and pony show to say that he was coming back to Cleveland. I think logic kind of pointed that way. But he was going back and forth on this particular decision about, is it right for me to go to Miami? Or maybe should I reconsider and stay in Cleveland? So, like, he says in this episode, LeBron, like in some old footage, I think, an interview that they pulled back, that he didn't have his decision made until basically like that day, or at least the people close to him didn't feel like LeBron had the decision made until that day. And on top of that, I just don't think he wanted to give Dan Gilbert any kind of heads up, because I think he felt like Dan probably would have let it get out.
Chris, do you think that the Cavs could have won a championship had he stayed and not left?
I don't think so, no. I just think at that time, Dustin and Chico, like you had the big three of Boston, and the Cavs weren't good enough to beat that team, and I just think like with the people that were in place, with the roster that they had, like building a team that they built in Miami, that kind of team that was needed to win championships, because you ran up against teams like the Celtics and then against Oklahoma City and against the San Antonio Spurs eventually. Like building that kind of team that they built in Miami, I don't think would have been possible here in Cleveland, because I don't think they would have had the trade assets, number one. And number two, I just don't think any free agents would have been willing to come here to join LeBron. And I think one thing that he realized, and maybe Cavs executives and fans realized, is that there's only so much that he could do in that era. There's only a limit to his greatness where he needed to go and join some other team with some better players so that he could get over that hurdle that he couldn't get over here in Cleveland.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, is our guest here on Bull and Fox. Chico in for Adam on this Friday. Chris, present-day Cavaliers, obviously, they're not one of the 22 teams. One of the things, though, that I think is kind of gotten lost in all of this as we wait for the NBA to, you know, possibly do this and you know, all the virus guidelines and all that stuff, one of the things that the Cavs were very serious about was, you know, hey, we want to have an ability to, you know, still have some competition to develop, because they were going pretty well there when things got cut short. JB Bickerstaff, they had something. Where are we at with that? Is the league still, you know, reaching out to teams like the Cavs that didn't make it in hopes that they can find some competition and keep development while this is going on?
So, yes, Chico, it is something that the league is working through. I just think so much of the focus right now has been on this restart plan July 30th in Disney and everything that they have to go through in order to do that, where some of the other teams that want some kind of competition, whether it be a tournament, scrimmage, mandatory mini camp in the summer, OTAs, anything like that, it's just they're kind of on pause right now. And I think there's an understanding, while the Cavs are upset, there's an understanding that there are so many things that the league has to get done first when it comes to the restart in Disney, that some of these other issues are obviously going to have to be pushed to the back burner because there are more important things that have to be figured out. But the Cavs are staying on them. The Cavs made a detailed proposal a couple of weeks ago about what they want. And it seems like the other teams that have been excluded from the Disney restart, like they want some kind of level of competition too. And if you made a list of the teams that are affected the most by being excluded from Disney, at the very top of that list is the Cavs because they have a new head coach. They have all these young players. They were playing well at the time. They have Andre Drummond that they were trying to work in. There was just so much new that they wanted to figure out in the last couple of weeks that they're not going to get an opportunity to, at least not in the same way.
Chris, I want to ask you about Drummond because he kind of announced on the Stu Gatz podcast that he's going to come back and re-sign his deal or his player option, I should say, to come back for another season. What does he bring to the table that we should be excited about?
Well, I just think it makes them more competitive. You know, guys, at the time that the league stopped, the Cavs were 4-4 with Drummond in the lineup. And, you know, part of that was the schedule. Part of that was just timing of everything. But he makes them a better team because it gives them a rim protector. It gives them a legitimate center. It gives them a pick-and-roll threat. They can play high-low with Kevin Love and Andre Drummond. Gives them more depth along the front line. Like, he's not the kind of player that is going to significantly impact your team's record over an 82-game season. But he makes you better because not as much is demanded of Kevin Love now all of a sudden. Not as much is demanded of some of these young guys all of a sudden. It just makes them, from that standpoint, a more competitive team and a team that has the size. Whereas at the beginning of the season, some of their size limitations showed up to the point where John Beilein, before he stepped down, was screaming about them being not athletic enough and being too small to deal with a lot of these teams. Like some of those mismatches that were glaringly obvious that the Cavs were facing on a nightly basis, those aren't going to be there the same kind of way with somebody like Andre.
Chris, in closing here, first of all, great piece that you did on Darius Garland at Cleveland.com. And one of the things that stood out to me in this is that, you know, you always talk about the physical part of that, you know, those injuries, and obviously mm-hmm. he had that injury to start the season. But what really comes to light and what you painted here with the picture of Darius Garland in the interview is psychologically, he really had a hard time getting back healthy and really being himself. Did he ever get to that point?
He doesn't think so. He feels like he was starting to get to that point right before the shutdown. It was kind of like February into March, but he never really felt like himself. And I think one of the hard things for him was, like in high school, he was one of the top recruits, right? And then in the four games that he played in college at Vanderbilt, he was off to a really, really good start from a statistical standpoint and from a team standpoint. And so he knows what he's capable of, and he knows the kind of impact that he can have. And he knows what he can do and what he can't do on a basketball court. And all of a sudden, like, he gets into the NBA, and he's completely overmatched in a way that he wasn't at Vanderbilt, right? In a way that he wasn't in AAU and in high school. And he's thinking to himself, he's probably doubting himself, saying, like, is this just because I'm in the NBA? Or is this I'm in the NBA, I'm a rookie, I'm a point guard, and I'm still dealing with the after effects of this knee injury? And I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how Darius comes out in his sophomore year. And one thing that he told me that he's really excited about is, look, if you think about it, last year during the summer, all the different rookies from his class, they were able to do stuff, right? They were able to work out. They were able to do runs. They were able to sharpen their skills and actually develop their game. Darius was just trying to get back to the point that he was previously before the injury. So he lost, in essence, a full year of development that some of these other guys, his age group and on the same curve as him, they were able to take part in. So he's so excited about being healthy going into this summer and actually working on his game rather than just rehabbing an injury to get back to the place that he was before. And I think that's really, really important when you talk about young players.
Chris, great stuff as always, buddy. Keep up the good work, and hope to talk to you soon, pal. Thanks.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.